that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney.
Mama who bore me, Mama who gave me.
Today we visit Butte College to talk with two actors and the director from Butte's production that opens tomorrow night, the Tony Award-winning musical Spring Awakening. This alt-rock style musical is about young people in a conservative religious community in the late 19th century who must deal with an explosion of emotions as they discover the changes and urges of their bodies, though they've gotten no guidance or education from their strict elders. Also on today's program, we'll be talking with three artists from Art on Arbutus, a new exhibition and art sale that begins tonight at a new venue on Arbutus Avenue in Chico. The artists will tell us about their process of making their watercolors, montages, creative weavings, and sculptural jewelry. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
Reading's Riverfront Playhouse opens The Man Who Came to Dinner, a fast-paced comedy full of twists, turns, and unusual characters. Opening night is tomorrow, starting at 7:30. At Reading's Cascade Theater tomorrow, the North State Symphony presents a concert under the baton of Maestro Scott Seaton, featuring works inspired by Italy. Hear Rossini's Barber of Seville Overture, as well as works by Mendelssohn and others. There's a pre-concert talk at 6:30, and the performance begins at 7:30. At the Orland Arts Center, the exhibit A Beautiful Blend of East and West. See work by Chung Hong Chang, who blends still lifes in the European style with classical Oriental painting. Also showing bowls and other wood-turned pieces by Judith Cleaver. Center hours 1 to 6, Tuesday through Saturday. In Chico, at the university's Wismer Theater, the play Under Construction, a collage of scenes, songs, and dances inspired by art, the paintings of Norman Rockwell, and installations by present-day artist Jason Rhodes. Performances are tonight and tomorrow at 7:30, with a Saturday matinee at 2. The performers take Monday off and return for only three more shows, Tuesday through Thursday, at 7:30. The young actors from the Inspire School of Arts and Sciences presents Scapino at the Blue Room Theater in Chico. This slapstick comedy, featuring characters inspired by Italian Commedia dell'arte, plays tonight at 7, with two shows tomorrow at 2 and at 7. Tomorrow evening, humorist David Sedaris comes to Chico State's Laxon Auditorium, reading pieces from his existing manuscripts and from essays yet to be published. Spend your Saturday night experiencing the wit and insight of David Sedaris, starting at 7:30. Sunday, the North State Symphony brings its Italian-inspired concert to Laxon for a 2 o'clock matinee. Tuesday evening, Chico State's Jazz 2 and Concert Band plan an evening of music that includes overtures, marches, big band, and swing. Also, thrown in for good measure, are some classical pieces by Bach and Mozart. This eclectic evening of music starts at 7:30. At the university's Janet Turner Print Museum, the exhibit Wide Open Spaces, Janet Turner prints with photos of Big Chico Creek Ecological Reserve. The Turners open 11 to 4, Monday through Saturday. Chico Art Center celebrates the Mexican holiday with Day of the Dead Live Art Exhibit, a show of altars, artwork, poetry, and music. Visit the center any day of the week between noon and 4. At 1078 Gallery in Chico, a collecting place, an exhibit of lithographs, silk screens, and cinetypes created by printmaker Susanna Crum. 1078's hours, 12:30 to 5:30, Thursday through Saturday. Theater on the Ridge in Paradise opens the comedy One Man, Two Governors. Tonight and tomorrow, the one-liners and slapstick antics start flying at 7:30. In Yuba City, the Community Memorial Museum of Sutter County continues the National Park Service 100 Years of Heritage. This exhibit's dedicated to the beauty and diverse character of our country's parks, landscapes, and historic locations. Museum hours, 9 to 5 Wednesday through Friday, and 12 to 4 on Saturday. At the Main Stage Theater in the Grass Valley Center for the Arts, Beauty and the Beast. This non-Disney version puts a fresh spin on the fairy tale and features additional scenes, a large cast of colorful villagers, and original songs. Only 3 more chances to see this show, at 7 tonight and at 2 o'clock tomorrow and Sunday. That's the calendar for this week. Thanks for listening. Author Kurt Vonnegut celebrates a birthday today. According to Vonnegut, the arts are not a way to make a living. They are a very human way of making life more bearable.
Mama who bore me, Mama who gave me no way to handle things, who made me so sad.
Spring Awakening. Tomorrow night, Butte College opens its production of this show, and the college advises that it's for mature audiences, high school age or older, because of explicit language and sexual content. We'll be talking with 2 of the actors and the director. I'm here at Butte College's Black Box Theater, where they're getting ready to open their new musical production, Spring Awakening. We have here Joseph Slepsky. He's playing the part of Melchior. What was your impression of it when you first heard the music?
I was kind of surprised because it's atypical to most musicals. It's really rocking at a lot of times, and it gets pretty edgy too. It does span a lot of different genres of rock, punk type music, and then more chill alternative style, I would say.
Well, tell me about your character, Melchior.
He's the really gifted, rebellious guy in his school. The story takes place in 1890s Germany, and these kids are in high school.
Except it's a very conservative community. I mean, way religious.
He's like, oh, well, what if, you know, boys and girls could attend the same school? Because in the show, they don't. Boys and girls are always separated. It's very military-like. Melchior is rebellious, and he wants to change the world, you know. He has all these dreams, and he's like, you watch me. I will go out and change the world, and that's kind of his dream. Whenever there's not music, it's totally in period. 1890s Germany, all the dialogue and stuff, it stays in period. When it switches to the music, it gets raw and it gets contemporary. There's microphones and spotlights and it's wild. It's like on the outside, these kids have to really conform to this military-like, super structured society. But then once the music happens, you get to see all of their inner dilemmas, how they're really feeling inside. And it's very edgy and rebellious, and they're confused. It's so much about how they're feeling, not really knowing what's happening to them as they're growing older. One of the huge themes of the show is adults not telling the youth what's happening to them in adolescence. A lot of all of this bad stuff goes down sort of because of that.
Did the show make you feel like a 21st century young person imprisoned in this old style restrictive society?
Especially earlier on, the first scene that Melchior is in the school. You know, you're in the school and the teacher's like looking down on you. Everyone's reciting their Latin verses and... It's really funny because the first song is about Melchior and he's like, ah, I don't like this. All the boys join in. It's really rebellious.
All that's known in history and science, overthrown at school, at home by blind men. Doubt them, and soon they bark and hound you, till everything you say is just another bad about you. All they say is trust in what is written. Wars are made, and somehow that is wisdom. Thought is suspect, and money is their idol. And nothing is okay unless it's scripted in their Bible.
What I really like, though, about this show is it's not just Melchior's conflict and Wendla's conflict. It goes in depth into so many different characters, and it'll talk about, oh, you know, this guy's situation with his piano teacher, and he's really attracted to his piano teacher, but he doesn't know what to do. Or Moritz, who has this awful home situation, and he's failing school. If he fails school, then he's going to get, like, disowned by his family, but then he still has to keep it all together in class. And really, he's just this frenetic, edgy dude.
Talk about the journey that you go through with your relationship with Wendla.
It starts out as just, like, this really innocent, cool thing with Melchior and Wendla. And then I think both of them just don't know what they're doing. And because they're both not really educated on what happens when a male and a female get together, bad things go down. And they are blamed for it by the adults who will not accept responsibility for not educating their youth. I think it's very important to go to this musical and not expect happy la-di-da type show. It's a powerful show. I don't want to twist it. There's a lot of beauty and redemption that happens in the show. It's a very personable show. It reflects life. It's not fake. It's not either just really tragic or really happy. There's beautiful moments as well as very sad moments. And I think you get a really true sense of beauty out of it because it's so real.
We've been talking with Joe Slepsky. He's the young actor who plays one of the lead roles in Spring Awakening, the musical that opens tomorrow night at Butte College. And now we're talking with Kaylee Joyce, who plays Wendla. Is this show having a different kind of impact on you than other shows that you've done?
Yes, it definitely has, and I think... Also, the timing right around as I'm entering college for the first time, this is a very big time of change. And it's interesting because, you know, in high school, I did like Rodgers and Hammerstein, Cinderella, and those sorts of shows. Now I'm doing this show and it's urging me to ask some questions that I wasn't asking myself before. And I think it's been really good.
Well, talk about your character.
She's definitely portrayed as sweeter, more innocent. She's sort of the innocence of the show, so most of her music definitely reflects that, and you get a lot more ballads and those sorts of things. Wendla really just wants to feel human connection. She's grown up in this society where even her relationship with her own parents is very distanced. She's very interested in pleasing her parents. She thinks one of the worst things that could happen to her is disappointing them. And that's definitely her big shift in the show, is when she finds out that she has disappointed them and she has to decide what to do from here. Either take control of her own life or just stay suffering.
Kayla, give us one more idea of what people will enjoy and what they'll experience if they come to see Spring Awakening at Butte College's Black Box Theater?
Well, the first thing is it's fun. As dark as it gets, it is a fun show. You'll have a great time. But the show is about love, mercy, and forgiveness. And I think those are really important messages for our country right now. We're putting up a lot of boundaries with each other because of differences in our political or religious ideologies. And I really think this show says, listen to the children. And kids don't see that kind of stuff. They don't see those things. They just love each other. I really want people to see that, and I look forward to being able to share that with people.
I'm here at Butte College. They're getting ready to open Spring Awakening, the Tony-winning musical. And we have the director of the production, Jesse Mers. Did your student performers talk to you about feeling like they were thrust into this conservative 19th century society, and then they express themselves with a very 21st century voice in the songs?
Yeah, for them, I think there was a great ease to it, because for many of them, they are classically trained, but most of them are new to musical theater and new to formalized singing. Maybe they did some choir, but most of them haven't been in rock bands, although our male lead has been in a rock band before, and a few others might have been in some rock bands. But the music is easier for them to identify with because it feels so contemporary, because it's so exciting. We do have string instruments, so it's a little bit of an alternative approach to rock and roll music that really helps the students. In terms of connecting with the 19th century, well, that I think is the bigger task. And we decided to really simplify. We wanted it to sound as believable and as easy for our audience members to be able to understand as possible.
Opening night is tomorrow night.
Saturday the 12th at 7:30, and we play Sunday the 13th.
And that's at 2 o'clock on Sunday. And then you take a few days off and you come back for one more weekend, right?
That's right. If you come see us this first weekend, you're going to be wanting to invite all of your friends and family of a certain age and maturity level to come see this show, because it is a sensational show. It's already been revived on Broadway, and this is a show that opened in 2006 on Broadway, and it's already had a revival, which was Tony nominated last year for Best Revival in 2015. So yes, the second weekend, we're playing Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 7:30, which is the 17th, 18th, and 19th, and we close on the 20th, Sunday, 2 o'clock matinee.
All right, thank you, Jesse Mers. Spring Awakening at Butte College, which opens tomorrow night.
Just too unreal, all this. Watching the words fall from my lips.
Baiting some girl with hypotheses.
Haven't you heard the word of your body?
Don't feel a thing you wish.
Grasping at pearls with my fingertips.
Holding her hand like some little tease.
Haven't you heard the word of my wanting?
This is Dolores Mitchell, and I'm so pleased today to be talking about Art on Arbutus. It's a holiday show. I'm going to introduce first Sandy Fisher, who is a weaver and is going to say a bit about how this show came about.
Hi, Dolores. This show came about with Melinda Vasquez and I, who've showed at Art in the Matador for 3 years now. We thought we needed a nice place to show our work during the holidays. Well, my home is on Arbutus, and it's a nice central location. So Melinda and I had it last year. This year, myself, the weaver, Melinda Vasquez, with her jewelry and beautiful collages and charcoal work, we've invited Eva Farley, who does beautiful watercolors.
I'm turning now to Melinda.
I guess I'll start off with my charcoal landscapes. You know, as a very young artist, I used to do charcoals. I was studying the human form. But later in life, I decided I'd pick up the charcoal again, but use an approach I'd never had done before, which is landscapes. So I took my charcoal, and I started visiting the Sacramento River, Butte Creek Canyon, honing my skills with this beautiful little stick. So you will see several pieces of local landscape. I feel like a fisherman. When I go out, it doesn't really matter if I catch the fish. I get to be in this great place, this great local landscape, and I get to create charcoal landscapes. What I really love about the medium is I love that with a very humble tool, I can get the lightest value and the darkest value. It really intrigues me, and I love the contrast. I liken them to black and white photography.
So many of your charcoals are going to suddenly bring to mind favorite locations in the North State.
That's true. We're very, very lucky. Within about 5 minutes, you can be in the natural world, and that's what makes Chico so beautiful. The next medium I'd like to share with is my collages. They're the way I do color. Most of my collages have two subjects, either bamboo and birds or fruit. I will create an image. I might do 4 or 5 drawings before I say this is the right one. There are a myriad of pieces. They're like a little puzzle that must come together. I'm the artist, I'm the designer, so I decide how that will be. All the pieces come together and I see a beautiful bird and bamboo. Or I'll see a cluster of fruit. But they all hone my skills as an artist. A few years ago, I was really stuck in my art. And I listened to contemporary philosopher Thomas More. And he says, artists often get stuck. What they need to do is go do something else. I thought that was great advice. So what I did is I went to the bead shop. And I started playing, trying to stir up my own joyful, creative spirit that had been stymied by being stuck. What I found quite quickly was I could string these beads or I could start composing small sculptures. So for me, they're like wearable sculptures. I love materials. I love mixing them. I do not know the rules of jewelry, nor do I want to know those rules because they come from what I feel is beautiful.
I'm turning now to Eva Farley, who has produced some absolutely radiant watercolors.
I was fortunate enough to go in the spring to southern Spain and briefly to Portugal. And I didn't take my paints this time. I just took my phone and I took photographs wherever I was. While I've always considered myself to be a still life painter, on this trip I was inspired by the landscapes. So I brought all those photographs home and started playing. I didn't approach it with any kind of anxiety. I was just trying to add some color and distill the photographs into something that I was happy with. They're simple, they're colorful, but they really give you a sense of the flavor of the places where I was lucky to be. And I even did a few cityscapes, which is totally foreign to me. One of Lisbon, very bright and colorful, and some of Casariche, Spain, a little village in southern Spain.
What I thought was so clever of you was the way you used the white of the watercolor paper to represent those whitewashed buildings in southern Spain.
Some of the villages were entirely white buildings with terracotta roofs. Looking at them, I thought, well, it's just a block of white. But then I started looking at all the shadows in the hot sun delineated the various walls of the white buildings and gave you some sense of the various little tiny buildings all stuck together.
You're also going to be showing a series of cards.
My greeting cards come from scanning paintings before I frame them and offer them for sale. So the greeting cards will offer you a sort of watercolor history of the things that I have been painting in the past. So there are a lot of florals, there are a lot of local birds. I even have a series of insects, which are popular with some people. Just various still life subjects.
Well, thank you very much. And now, Sandy Fisher, tell us about what you will be showing.
I have been falling in love with the linen fiber. I have a project going called the Flax Project here in Chico. We're growing flax, so I need to explore it more. I am weaving fine linen hand towels or tea towels and playing with various traditional woven structures like twill weaves and tweaking them a little bit, making these beautiful pieces of art for the home. For many years, I've found a niche in making hand wovens, such as table runners and placemats. I'm still doing those, and I will have some of those, but I also, in my table runners, I like to add the element of surprise. I add paper to the pieces, and that's kind of a little signature of my piece.
You've had such a fascinating history of how you acquired your weaving skills.
The loom intimidated me, so I went off to Scotland and learned to weave from someone. I became a skilled craftsman, and then from that, my love of color came with dyeing and manipulating the threads to making something quite beautiful on this structure. I think that amazes people. I'm in the studio tours. People are always amazed at that loom and how you make it work. My whole body's involved in it, in making my art, you know. And so it's those colors that the yarns can give me, how I can manipulate them through dyeing them, and then how I put the over and under creates more color. So it becomes my palette. That's one of my explorations over the years I've discovered and why I still like my media.
Sandy, can you give us a recap on the details of the show?
Art on Arbutus is going to be at 853 Arbutus Avenue. Cross Street is Palmetto is the closest. We'll have signs out front.
Well, this is a perfect show to see for the holiday season. Thank you all.
You can see all this art we've been talking about and talk with the artists yourself at the opening reception for Art on Arbutus. That opening reception is today in just over half an hour. It starts at 4 o'clock and it goes till 8 tonight. And it also continues tomorrow from 11 till 5. And that's on Arbutus Avenue near Palmetto in Chico. And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you ever miss this program in its regular broadcast time, you can listen to it anytime after 3:30 Friday online at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts where you live. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.